This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
What are the evidences of hope in you as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Evidences, you can think of their synonyms as proof. You want confirmation, you want something to corroborate with what you are claiming or saying or doing, you want some validation, you want some testimony, you want some grounds to prove what you are saying about. Every manufacturer has a mark on the product to give an evidence that that thing is a child brain. It's his own child brain. Creation, when you talk about God, you look at the stars, you look at the marine life, you look at the people. I asked you to visit the train station these days, the airports, the seaports, and see the multitude of people. When you look at them, what do you see? Evidence that God exists. Creation is evidence of God. Historicity or historical events in the Bible are evidences of God, that God exists. The air you breathe, the fact that you are here today, you are proof that God exists. Amen. You are not without evidence of who made you. The cross is what? The evidence that God loves you. And when you allow the cross to carry you, is the evidence that you are a child of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, if I come to you and tell you that you are a liar, you are a thief, you are a fornicator, you will deny it. And I will ask you, the evidence is that you are not a thief. You are not a liar or a fornicator. If I say, how do you know you are not a liar? If I ask you, how do you know you are not a fornicator? You are not a deceiver. How do you know that? You want to tell me you have evidence because you don't steal. You don't commit fornication, sexual immorality. If I come to you, I tell you you are from Gonda and you are not from Gonda, and you want to prove evidence, because anyone can say I'm from Gonda, Kirji, I'm from Harvard. But I will ask you for what? The evidence. Right? Because everybody can claim. If I ask you, who are you? You say you are Daniel. Prove that you are Daniel. See, I'm standing here. I say, I don't know about that. Before you take your flight to this country, it's not what you tell them by your mouth that matters. There is some evidence that you have to prove that you are what? Who you are. Hallelujah. Did you make yourself? Who are you? How do you know you are not a man or woman? Hello. You are a woman, I ask, how do you know you are a woman? That's my question, right? Prove that you are a woman. We are talking about evidences. Everything needs some evidences somewhere, somehow. Is it that you know you are a woman because you feel like you are a woman, or you imagine that you are a woman? Dudes, you feel you are a dude because you feel like you are a dude? Because that's the teaching in the house today. A child wakes up and say, I feel, you know, wearing these male pants and other things. They say, oh, now, there's trans something happening there. Because I feel. You know, you like to be in the company of boys. You, I mean, groomer. There's nothing wrong there. Okay? But from there, I progress to the aspect of maybe you feel like you are a man. Is your gender based on how you feel? Is that your evidence? Well, you are okay to disturb the original evidences, marks, or even make up your own identity or give your own evidences. But the one who makes you, you still belong to him. Even the devil knows that he belongs to God. Amen? One simple question. Are you a believer? How many believers are here? Hallelujah. That's not the right question to ask, you know. Is there anybody that's not a believer here? Can you lift up his hand? Yeah, that's a better way of asking that question. How do you know you are a believer? Amen. What are the evidences that you are a believer? Think about that. Can you think about three evidences that you are a believer? You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is that one? That's the most common one, right? Yeah. Think about three things. We'll come into that. Now you say you are a believer. Who will certify or authenticate your claims of who you are and who you are not? Yourself or somebody? These are fundamental questions that begs for evidences, proof, testaments, to corroborate, to validate your claims of who you are. I don't know whether today is a sermon or a Bible study, open discussion or teaching, whichever one that applies to it is beneficial taking. Someone say amen. Amen. I'm asking you to think about three things, but I have a list of things, and I want you to go, because it's easier for you to think of what are the evidences you are who you are in Christ Jesus. What makes you think? What are your evidences? I have a list of them here. Born again. Of course, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. How many people are born again here? Amen. Don't worry, come around. Just ask you like this. Thank you. All right? Do you understand to be born again by the Spirit of God is not the same thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Hello? Are two different things here? Yeah. To be born again does not mean you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You can only speak in tongues that has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's not the question you believe what Jesus can do, but Jesus Jesus is saying, be witnesses unto me. There is something Jesus can do, is one thing. And there is another reality of being a witness unto Jesus. Number two, praying and reading the word of God, stewardship, tongues, hope, prophecies, miracles. Which one is not part of the evidences of the hope? Evidences of hope. You know, we talked about this hope. You remember what we said about hope? The living hope, Jesus? Yeah, you say Christ lives in me. Good health, prosperity, good family, faith, longevity, good job, love, Christ. What are those things that make you think that you are a believer? A believer in Christ Jesus, because that is the hope, the little hope. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13 quickly. I have it there. Now, it gives you a background, and out of this one, Paul is summarizing into three important things. If I speak in the tongues of a man of all angels, but do not have love, I only... Now, the whole thing is trying to do some expose on love. And you know about that, and I want to save our time not going through everything. If I give my possessions to the poor, give everything, my body to hardship, that it goes, but do not have love, I get nothing. Love is patient, love, all that thing you know. Love does not delight in doing evil, but rejoices with the truth always. Love never fails. But where there are... No. Listen here. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are what comes, they will what? They will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Understand, for we know in part. Alright? And we prophesy in part. No matter how you understand about God, you only know Him partly. No matter how you understand about certain principles in the Word of God, it's partly. You are not an authority, and there are those things that God may decide to reveal and not reveal, but that should not even interfere with your faith in Him. And then it goes on, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only again in a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. All these things, he summarizes in verse 13. And now these three remain, all prophecy, tongues, and whatsoever. Three things remain. Let's go back to that list again, next slide. So, everything, three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. And I included number 6, love there. Now, other choices, let me put a disclaimer, all choices could be right. It depends on the context you are talking about. I can argue that the cross is the evidence of hope, of your hope in the believer. And can I explain it to fit my narrative as I understand it? But that narrative will change as I continue to grow in the word and grace of God, but it will never conflict. Now, if I look at the cross, as I say, Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The evidence of my hope is the cross. I can explain it. I can go further when he was talking to the foolish Galatians, that something was bewitching them. He went to 2 Corinthians 4:10. We always both carry around in our body the death of what? 22, verse 24, you must what? Carry the cross. You must deny and carry the cross. So the cross should be, in this narration, the evidence of hope as a believer. But let's go back to that 1 Corinthians where we are talking about 13 verse 13 and look at it briefly. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why is he saying love is the greatest? Why should love be the greatest? Because love is considered the greatest because it is the very nature of God. God is love. God will never fail. Love is the greatest because it is eternal and will continue even when faith becomes sight. There's no need for faith again when you can see what you have. Alright? And hope, once it realized, there's no need of hoping again. It's gone. All that remains is love continually with God. I can argue that. Alright? Love. Love is the ultimate expression of God's character and the defining mark of every true disciple of Jesus Christ, where he says, love one another. If you are my disciple, it looks like the whole man that John 13, 35 is saying. Well, when you look at it in the context of 1 Corinthians 12, 31, love is the more excellent way that Paul was advising them when they are having problems in the church. Love is the excellent way of solving problems. But let's look at something back. Let's look at something in that 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, we are looking at the next slide. Yeah, that's all of that place. Now listen. So love is the greatest. But Hebrews is saying something here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Hallelujah. Firm and secure, it enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. What is this hope? You know, that's what we say. This hope that we're talking about is a living hope, and that talks about Jesus. It was Jesus that entered into the inner sanctuary to offer the sacrifice. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of what? Our hope of what? Salvation. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is the gospel. And then Romans 8:24-25. For in this hope we are what? So what is it saying here? Love is the greatest of this. In this context that Paul was talking, centering his whole discussion about love. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he can already see? But we hope for what we do not yet see, we wait for it patiently. Now, it's fully this waiting for what? What are we all believers waiting for now? The appearance of who? For salvation. Jesus is the living hope, and we are waiting for him. He has come into heaven, and we are waiting for that living hope to come. Same with me still. I will run you now to something very important. Next slide. Now, this is Paul writing to those in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Amen. When we pray for you. Because we
with hope stored up for you in heaven.
It brings the word of God, it proceeds. That now, which one is bigger? Which one is greater? It's love, it's hope that is giving rise to what? Faith and love. He said the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven. Hope. Jesus. If love and faith springs up from hope, which is then the greatest? Hope is the foundation. This hope is Jesus. You see, we have to be careful how we interpret the word of God sometimes. Interpret the words, situations, circumstances, parables, narratives in the word of God. When the word of God says when Jesus was born, he said, peace on earth. And then Jesus, when he began his ministry, he said, I did not bring peace. Hey, contradiction. I did not bring peace, but I brought what saw. That's right. The connection between these three things are important. The triad, the trio of faith, hope, and love, their interconnectedness and their permanency is foundational, central, and plays a critical role in the life of a Christian life as an evidence of hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. There's no confusion. He gave himself, he did not give us love. He gave himself. And what did he give? Jesus. The evidence of hope. The evidence of hope in a believer. This is how I want to look at it. In my understanding. You have trust. When we talk about faith, what is faith? Faith means trust, obedience, trust and obey. And we know who is in charge of teaching us to be obedient. It's the Holy Spirit. When we talk about hope, God the native promise, our salvation, he talks about Jesus, the living hope. When he talks about love, he's talking about God. There's a bit of reflection of the Trinity. God's love. We have the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us. And we have Jesus Christ as our living hope. And most of the time we say the Father. The Father. He honors the Father of all time. If you look at the Trinitarian nature of God, he called in passing hope, but God is God. Now what are these evidences of hope in a believer? Faith, hope, and love. What are the practical realities in your life? We have that in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. It says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father. Now listen. Your work produced by what? Faith. When you have faith, show me your works. That's the practicality. That's the evidence of this hope that you have. Your labor prompted by love. You understand? It didn't say work, it said labor. And the best example of what that definition means, remember a woman in labor. The things that she goes through. That's the truth. Prompted by love. Your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
your work, your faith, your labor, your love, your endurance is paired by the living reality of what hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are jobless believers in the house of God. What I was called busy bodies. Physical and spiritual joblessness in the house of God. They don't have work. Because your work produced by faith, your labor produced by love. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before others. What is the light? Your works, your labor, your endurance, passing, endurance, perseverance, something opposing, something persecution, trials, challenges. You keep on hope. And through that you let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify you. Did he say so? You will glorify your Father in heaven. So if you look at the evidences that we are talking, the evidences of hope in a believer, number one, combined together, that complex in faith, hope, and love is the number one evidence of hope in a believer. Number two, growing your hope to maturity. Growing your hope is an evidence. Under this, we have two subtopics, but I want to deal with the main thing of number two, growing your hope to maturity. Let's look at that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, have you grown? How do we measure spiritual growth? So we will go to class. How do you measure the spiritual growth? Think about that. It says grow in the grace and knowledge of God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you grown since when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or always taking milk? We shall come to that, Hebrews. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Have you grown? Are you standing out in the crowd? Are they seeing you like a light on a hill? By your life, by what you do? Have you grown? Believe you me, you can measure your spiritual growth. One of the things I used to say, but I don't still now. I used to lose my cool, but now I don't. Before I can't stand them, but now I can stand. They despise me, now I don't worry. They speak bad about me, it doesn't bother me. They've hurt me several times, but I forgive them all the time. Is that you? We were having counseling yesterday, marriage counseling. And it's good to know each other. Some of the challenges maybe couples face when you are angry, some people want to just be left alone. And they encourage the wife, if it's just from that, you know, just leave him alone. Just give him time, maybe 1 or 2 hours. You know, and some of you are taking it to some extreme. You know, or you back the door, you close the door, you hold the pillow. Just leave him, let her cool down. If your time is off, God needs you in that situation. What is your story? He said, it does make sense. Just give him 1 hour or 2 hours. He will be okay. He will be okay. That's a good therapy. But do you wish to continue maintaining that kind of status quo in your life? Or you want to be able to face it? So that there's no question of I need 2 hours. No, that moment I can release it. How many people have grown, people call
verse 12 to 20. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to. Some of you, every day, money has gone to the market. Money has gone to the market. That's all. You ought to be teachers. For how long have you been in the house of God? All that you do is come to church, feel the pews, smile. And is everything okay? God bless you. Go to coffee time, share. That's all. That's great. That's all. That's all. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's word. God loves you. God cares for you. God is loving. God is forgiving. And then He will forgive you from the elementary things. They are still there. Anybody that shows some difference to your opinion, you get angry. And some of you say, I'll never come to Washington again. Because the worship leader says, don't come late. Or you will be penalized. You need milk, not solid food. Yeah, we will do that in the house of God. But you know, you'll continue to be a child in the house of God. You'll be mindful of the weak ones. It's good. Right? In the house, there are no troubles. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is still what? There are many people having the bottles in their hearts, in their minds. Right? There are infants in the house of the Lord. Are you one of them? Inexperienced. Yes, because you don't want it. You always want to carve out because you know how you can lose your cool. Therefore, you avoid anything that will lead you to lose your cool. That makes sense, right? But the day that you didn't avoid it, it hits you, you are destroyed. Where's the wisdom? Vulnerability. I don't want to go there because they will go there. Let them say what they want to say. Stand by the grace of God. I'm not saying, you know, don't misunderstand me. Alright? Don't misunderstand me. I think it's out of context. But I'm saying, do you want to continue living that life of I mind my space? I mind my space. That's all. You remain with that attitude? Believe you, me, God will be with you at a point. You will face it. Believe you, He will do it. That's why it's repeatedly you're having the same problem because you have not gone through it. The same thing happening over. Losing your cool, it will happen until you learn not to lose the cool. Amen? So, inexperience in the message of righteousness, but solid food is for what? Whatever they throw at you, you shake. And say, you know me. You know me. It will affect me. Whatever they say about you, you say, sorry. That doesn't affect me at all. Because we have grown. We have grown. Who by constant use, what is that? By constant use, every day they throw, you are building up resistance. When you go out, they mess you around, you are building up resistance. By constant use, have trained their senses. But every day you are on fire, you don't want trouble. You don't want trouble. And in this world, as long as you want to be a believer, you will have trouble. How do they say it? It's the word of God. Have trained their senses to distinguish good from what? Evil. The question, how practical do you grow this faith? By yourself or by God or both of you? Let's read Romans chapter 5. Next slide. Romans chapter 5. The classical version of the Bible. Moreover, let us all be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles. And what? Rejoice in our sufferings. two houses built, one on a rock,
one on a sandy ground.
Both have the storms beating on them. But if you are the owner that built on the solid rock, you can go in and sleep well. The job. But the storm is still there. Just like what Jesus is trying to tell us, in the midst of the storm, he was sleeping. How do you reconcile this physical reality and spiritual reality? It has to come from the soul that the hope is anchored on Christ. That pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience. How many people want to be patient? You want to be patient with your friends, with everything, waiting for something? It has to come through what? Pressure, affliction, and hardship. God's wisdom. You know, when a chicken egg wants to come out, you know, from the eggshell incubation after some period, it starts cracking, and then you see it struggling, cracking, and if you are not with wisdom, you want to help to open it up. You are destroying that baby chick. You allow it to build the pressure within it to be expanded or to be raised. That's why be careful when you are trying to help somebody that God is taking through some circumstances. Be careful, you have to give you wisdom. God is applying certain pressure that is needed to bring that person out, and you want to make it easy for that person. Be careful. Amen. Affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, may God grant you the fortitude to bear the loss, you know. It's hard. And endurance develops what? Maturity that we have been talking about. You want to be mature, there are procedures that the Word of God says. You don't have to decide the hardship, the tribulation. You don't have to pray for that. The Master who created you knows how to prune, knows how to sanctify. But you have your responsibility. That's why I say, sanctify thyself even as I am your what? Sanctifier. You want to sanctify yourself as if that will get you to heaven. But at the back of your mind, you know there are all filthy rags without God sanctifying you. Somebody say amen. Do it with the whole of your heart as if this depends. But you know it. Without the sanctification of God, without the blood of Jesus, they are all filthy rags. And endurance, developing maturity of what? Character. Approved faith and pride, integrity. And character of this sort produces what? Look at that. The habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Evidence. This is how to grow in maturity. Such hope never disappoints us. Such hope never shames us. It's not this question of shaming, I feel embarrassed. That is not. You lose everything, you lose your life. Never disappoints, but eludes or shame us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. So let's look at next slide. Let me see what we have. So growing your hope to maturity, we talked about that, then we'll look at 2a, not trusting in the arms of flesh. Hallelujah. Not trusting in the arms of flesh. That's part of growing to be mature. Not trusting in the arms of flesh. Jeremiah 17:5. We know about that. Cursed is the one who trusts the man, who draws strength from their flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Anything that you want to look at and rely on it and is taking your attention and focus from God, curse. still be good. Maturing to be able to deal with uncertainties in the hope that is not great for sight. B, next slide. Not trusting the arm for flesh, we have talked about that. 2B, as we are closing. Dealing with uncertainties in the hope that is 100%. Wow, what am I talking about here? This is 100%, in this kind of 100%, it talks about Jesus, the living hope. There is nothing like maybe in this 100% certainty. After Sunday service, let me ask you, you are going back to your room. Some of you will go back to your room. Is that right? Or you go to a restaurant. That place you are going is definite. You know it exists. You know your bed is there today. And you plan to go back to that. But only God knows what will happen between this place before you get to your bed. Are we together? There is uncertainty despite you know there is a bed waiting for you. But there is uncertainty how to get to that bed. The bed is certain 100%. But the problem now is from here with you, what you do, how you get there. Dealing with uncertainties in the hope that is 100%. Jesus is certain. Jesus, living reality, is coming back. Let's look at some scriptures here. What we're talking about here, there are certain issues in life you are uncertain, unable to ascertain which way it will go, even with the spiritual. We'll talk about it. Let us read Jonah chapter 3, verse 8. But let people and animals, this is when eventually Jonah decided to obey God after going to the Sea of Whales, alright? He learned to go down. Some of you have to go through that education, right? And we have to go, all of us. But let people and animals, you know, sometimes when you hear the word of God, you want to throw everything. Everything is for Jesus. Alright? If I say I have my anointing oil, if you are ready to, you know, give your life to Jesus Christ, to have this hope, certainly you want to jump, you will be convicted. You know, sometimes the word will cut your heart. What shall we do? Say, repent. Help us to bless what happened in this kingdom. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways. In fact, he said the animals should not even eat food. And their violence. Look at number nine. Who knows? The God that brought the message of repentance. But he's not sure whether God will forgive or not. Amen. Sometimes as a believer, you don't know about this thing that you are asking. There's something God 100% certain. He has ability. He's willing. But you don't know whether he will answer or not. Who knows? God may yet relent. He may not relent. Alright? If he relent when Stephen was stoned to death, he didn't. They killed him. The Hebrew children, did he relent? They went into the fire. Amen? Is that speaking to you? That you can go through the fire and God will come for you? Alright? With compassion, turn from his fears and so that you will not perish. Though you don't know, but still do the right and don't be a sitting duck. That's supposed to be S-I-T-T-I-T. Even though you don't know how he will respond, but you have one thing, do the right thing. Do the right thing. He may decide to bring you out of it, or he will decide to take you through it and then bring you out. Whichever way. In fact, some of you may not see the result of your faith. Alright? The heroes of our faith, they did not see, but they were anchored on the shore of the secure in heaven.
2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept.
Prayer minister, I have prayers. I'm fasting. You fasted. Yeah, are there one of those moments that truly you fasted and sought the Lord?
This is what happened to him.
While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God may be?
I want to help you in your faith. Sometimes you really don't know what how spiritual you are. There comes a time. That thing is coming. I really don't know whether she will come out of this or that. Or this is the end of it.
Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and the child may be?
And yet what happened after the child died? What did he do? He washed himself, went into the temple.
So it doesn't matter whether sometimes he answers or not. All that I'm saying, there is a time whereby what you are hoping in is not tied to any miracle response. But God. 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 All the time. If he decides to be merciful and provide the miracle, amen. If he doesn't, he is still faithful. Dealing with uncertainties in the whole world is uncertain.
What about John 21:17?
And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep, do the right thing when you don't know.
You don't have to wait for the miracle before you do the right thing. Be faithful until death, even through death.
You know, Peter is a living example. At one time, he was so sure of himself. He was so sure of himself. I will die. I will never die. And believe you me, Peter was truthful
to himself. Remember, it says, woe unto you that trust in flesh.
Peter was confident within himself and truthfully. With the whole of his heart, I can believe you at this moment. Sometimes when you receive the word, you are truthful.
But Jesus waited for him. He went back to his cocoon. He was fishing. May God help us to correct people the way Jesus corrects.
So Jesus asks him this question that cut his heart. Then he remembered. And he's not going to go through that route again.
I love you and I will love you till death.
He didn't say so. You remember what happened. But this time around he said, God knoweth all things. God knoweth all things.
Maybe I will fail again, but God knows all things. Maybe I will make a mistake again. Maybe I will deny again.
So, in your confidence, in your certainty, there are moments that you are uncertain in the certainty.
Nothing wrong with God. God remains God. But as human, we are not a bit of sometimes.
And God says what?
I understand their weakness. And that's why in those weak moments it will be your strength.
Next slide, as we round up. Next one. Let me tell you this truth. God is all that matters in your life, whether you believe him or not. Against God. God cannot be not be God. But you believe. The devil always says one time. He knows God is in control. The degree by which we claim to know God, know his will, and doing his will, by being daily led by the Holy Spirit of God and fellowshipping with one another, will to a larger extent determine
summarizing it all together, the evidences of hope, next slide. What are they? Number one, compound faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. They are interconnected. They may reflect in triune nature of God. God is God. Two, grow your hope to maturity. How do you do that? When you grow your hope, you come to the point where I am no longer trusting in the arms of flesh, not even yourself. You can be confident, 100% belongs to God. Dealing with uncertainties, because these things can throw you off balance. Romans 2:7, to those who by perseverance in doing good, perseverance. It says, do not be weary in doing what? Good. It's maturity. Do not be tired of doing good. Do not be tired of forgiving. Do not be tired of being merciful. Do not be tired of being a doormat. People step on you because of Jesus Christ. That is what it means by perseverance and endurance. There is something that is being done in you. Patience, perseverance, endurance. It produces character. And character what? Hope. And that hope will not lead you to shame. They seek glory, honor, and what? Immortality. Not on earthly things, but heavenly bound things. In the one he eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Do not what? Lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. They look at you. He always goes to the church. Look at his life. He's not enjoying. No matter what you go through in life, through persecution, trials, and challenges, the word of God tells me here, for our light and momentary is light affliction. And some of you, you gaslight everything. They just rumor about you, and you lose your whole self. She just looked at you this way, and the whole thing is scattered. Don't you see how she's looking at me? For our light and momentary affliction, I'm talking about this momentary affliction, this labor of love. Look at the lives of the 12 disciples of Jesus, what they have gone through. When compared to us, I mean, some of them will ask, are we going to the same heaven? It's just a roommate that is not understanding, and everything is not working out. It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory. Sola de gloria. Glory, when you say glory, is weighted. When the glory comes upon you, you go on your knees. I'm not talking about literal. That is far beyond comparison. Nothing to be compared with that. That is what it says. When you are going through this, suffering, trials, and challenges, the spirit of glory will come upon you at that moment. That is why you can see people are led to the stake and they are singing songs. They say, keep it coming, keep it coming, keep the heat coming. Because the spirit of glory has taken hold of them. And they see the glory of the Father. They are out of this body. They behold the glory of the Father and nothing happens. It's beyond comparison. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. John 14:1. Let's read that together. 1, 2, go. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Stop there. Are you troubled? What did we say? Are we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? What a nameless pain we telling me you believe in God. It's not saying you believe in God. You believe in what your parents believe in. What? But what? Believe in God. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. What is that hope? The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. They tried and killed him, but he's alive. Your hope will not be cut off. What is the evidence of hope? As a believer in Christ Jesus, do not let your heart be troubled. Let's bow our heads. What is plaguing you? What has become a cycle in your life? Some of you are struggling with that reality. Pornography, sexual immorality. Those are the big things, right? Coming to church, reading the Word of God daily. We have seen the practicality of what faith is. There will be wars. What love is, there will be labor. The hope, there is endurance, the practicality, reality. I've come to tell you surely there is hope for you. Hope that is secured in heaven. Let your soul be anchored on this hope. You can look at the evidences of hope. It's not talking about material things, about spiritual reality, faith, hope, and love. Are you troubled in any way? Do you want to lay it at his feet? You don't have to go back with that burden today. You know what has been plaguing you? Do you want to lay it at his feet? His soul is crying out, Father, forgive her. Forgive them. If you will only acknowledge with a 5-hour realization. Realization. The very first one. This are the truth, fundamental for any believer in Christ. They are the key things that grant you entrance into the presence of God. Faith, hope, and love. Are you trusting and obeying him as the Holy Spirit leads you? Jesus Christ is that living hope. You see in your heart through the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? It's no time of condemnation. Because worship is sin. Think about that. And even before then, pray that prayer that you want to pray to the Lord. I'm not asking you to lift up your hands. Talk to the Lord yourself. Are you troubled anywhere? You want to lay it at his feet? He's with you.